Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Bill, you've known me a long time. When is the last time I took notes for an interview?
I don't remember ever seeing this before.
I am so excited. Wow. Andrew Santino is here. So nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you. I'm happy that you took notes. I feel like very privileged that you
I have never done this. I really just kind of wing it usually, but there are so many things I want to talk to you about.
Awesome.
Where do you want to start? I'm Dying Up Here or your comedy special?
We can do both. You're leading this. You're leading the charge.
What's at the top of your note page? What does it say at the very top?
I'm Dying Up Here, Showtime.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that one.
All right, Bill, you did stand up for 10 years.
Yeah.
I had a friend who did it, and so I would go to these open mic nights with her, Carla Felicia, and I would see comedians sitting at the bar. It was like a group of people. Yeah. I feel like you captured it so well in there. Your character, though, very interesting.
Yeah, that's a word. Yeah, he's an angry, sardonic, mean, rude, jealous person, and I think that captures a lot of comedians' personalities, but the show kind of takes the world of 1973 at the beginnings of stand-up, so to speak, in Los Angeles, and they show you kind of what it was like to be around at that time when everything was beginning. It was a new frontier, you know? Stand-up was brand new in the sense from that, you know, public's perspective. It was finding its legs, and people were, you know, discovering what kind of performer they were going to be, and... You know, we kind of are trying to put on display the birth of stand-up in 1973.
And guys in 1973, Andrew, weren't necessarily doing it as a means to lead to TV shows or movies. It ended up that way for some of them, but that wasn't the mindset.
No, the mentality was just to be funny and get famous.
Yeah.
And get famous in stand-up. That was it. It was like, how funny can I get... And how famous can I get, and can I get to Carson? Carson's right. kind of was the holy grail, you know. So for them, it was just working to Carson. Nowadays, it's working to get on television and film, and so your name gets bigger. But also because the pool is so big now, there's so many people doing stand up.
Right.
But back then, it was a little bit more exclusive. And if you got on Carson, that was the golden ticket, man. That was it. You did Carson one time, and it was like poof, to the moon. You know? Well, especially if you got the couch.
Right.
Yeah. If you didn't get waved over, you know, that was a different story. That was, you know, you were still doing well, but it was also like that was room for your friends to mock you.
Right.
You know?
So the two guys that were the premier guys to come out of that era were Richard Pryor and George Carlin.
Definitely.
And in 1973, they were getting there, but they weren't there yet. There was no Leaders to the Promised Land at that point.
No, I think the beauty of what the show does show is we have an episode with this great actor that does a Richard Pryor, and we show that, like, he wasn't Richard Pryor yet. He was in the comedy world. To the comedians, they were like, oh my God, it's Richard Pryor, because he was respected in that circle. But to the public, it was just a very funny guy that they were like, oh, I think I've heard of that guy. And we're trying to show that in-between stage. You know, America really only sees you if you're famous. You know what I mean? You don't really get to see someone when they're on their way up. Unless you're listening to WGN radio, and then you get to see me on my way.
Sure, of course.
But I think that's the beauty of the show, is we get to show people how these people started out. And we're all kind of derivative of someone. We're based on characters, quote unquote, but we are not the physical representation of someone. I am derivative of many other comics. We like to say I'm like a Bill Hicks, if you remember Bill.
Oh, sure, of course.
And my name is Bill, which is a total coincidence.
Bill Hobbs.
It's a coincidence. But yeah. But that was the inspiration, because Bill was very, dark and angry. And that's kind of the vibe
of my
character.
The jealousy that you have for Sparky, your dad's dog. See, I'm a dog lover, Bill, not so much. But I can see why Bill Hobbs wouldn't like Sparky.
Yeah. He's a very jealous guy. Well, his father never showed him any love. His dad showed his dog more love than he ever showed him. I think that's many young comics' issues, that their father never showed him enough love. My dad did, though. I love you, Dad. But I think we try to show a little bit of the pain behind some of the laughter.
There's a lot of pain.
There is. I mean, it's a drama. It's very much a drama. People think it's a comedy because it's produced by Jim Carrey, so they're like, it's going to be hilarious. And then people watch it and they're like, it's not funny. It's like, well, it's not supposed to be a comedy. This isn't Big Bang Theory. This is not a traditional sitcom. It's about the dramatic world that exists beyond it. And there is some really funny moments. There's a lot of comedic relief. But, yeah, we're just trying to show a different angle, you know?
Now, is Goldie based on anyone in particular? The head of the comedy club?
Yes, so Goldie is the head of the club on the television show. Melissa Leo, who plays Goldie, is an
awesome
Academy Award winner. She's brilliant.
And good on All My Children years and years and years ago.
Yes.
Is that where I saw her before?
She started out on All My Children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cliff Warner's younger sister.
Yeah. And then, I mean, she's a brilliant actress. She's yeah. amazing. And then she would tell you that Goldie is her own character. But
there's some Mitzi Shore.
Yeah,
there.
we would say comics would say it's based on Mitzi Shore,
the mother of
derivative
the,
of yeah, the Pauly Shore's mom who owns the Comedy Store in yeah, Los Angeles.
Yeah,
because that's kind of the hub of where stand up started in L.A., so to speak. I mean, Bud Friedman and the Improv was a thing, and then years later the Laugh Factory. But you know, yeah, she was kind of this wonderful. Matriarch who put the foot down she was tough as nails. I mean, yeah. She still is. She's tough as nails, but she's not around as much anymore. But that's where Goldie kind of comes from. You know?
And she has a heartfelt side as well.
Yeah, I mean, for she's human. Kids. Yeah, she's human. She has love in her heart. She just I think to be a woman in the comedy business at any era is probably one of the hardest things in the world because it's a boys' club. It always has been, and in 1973, it absolutely was a boys' club. So. For a woman to own a comedy club and to run it was you had to be kind of tough. Right. I mean, I think you had to be kind of a jerk because,
and learn how to play cards.
That's right. Yeah, you had to be good at poker. Right. Yeah, you had to be real good at rummy. Yeah.
So can I ask for you, a guy who's a stand-up present day in the 2000s, what do you have to do style-wise to adopt the stance of a comedian in the 70s? It's a whole different kind of game, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I listened, I watched back a lot of stand-up, and, you know, I'm a stand-up fan, so I'd always watched stand-up. I've been in love with it, you know, since I was a kid, but for us, it was difficult to read material that isn't your own and to try mm-hmm. to make it somewhat your own of that mm-hmm. character without having your voice leak in there, because there's three stand-ups on the show, myself, Al Madrigal, and Eric Griffin, and it's tough because you think your stand-up brain, right as you get material, you're like, I could fix a few of these things. But then you got to think, no, it's of the time and it's of that ilk and you can't manipulate it. And so people will often be like, the stand-ups, it's okay on the show. It's not that funny. It's like, well, because it's not now.
Right.
You're used to now.
Right.
This is what it was then. It was a little bit more broad. It was a little on the nose, so to speak. You know, stand-up has developed over the years. Al Madrigal, who's a comic on the show, he always says, you know, it really doesn't hold up. Stand-up doesn't hold up all the time. So, like, a lot of bits you would never laugh at right. now, but then it was hysterical. So, yeah. You know, a lot of the comedy, you know, is very of 1973, but some of it does transfer over till today. It's just hard to make your voice unique from
sure.
your own. Yeah.
I like the clothes and the hair, too, from the 70s. I miss that.
It's coming back.
It's coming right back. Yeah, it's coming right back.
Andrew Santino is our guest, comedian, actor, writer, producer, former Chicagoan. He's playing at the Improv tonight through Sunday. You want to go to chicagoimprov.com for all your ticket information. We'll talk more about him and I'm Dying Up Here and his new special. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. I probably shouldn't compare shows like this, but the now-canceled Vinyl, which was on another network...
We don't talk about that other network.
...with Bobby Cannavale. I really like that because I've been doing radio for 30 years, so I could really get into that. But
yeah.
Watching I'm Dying Up Here, which is on Showtime...
That's right.
...which I'm waiting for a new episode. They didn't drop a new one yet.
Sunday, there'll be another one. There'll be a new one on Sunday. We had to take a break, I think, because of the 4th of July. You know, people were out barbecuing, Wendy. Weren't you out with your family and having a good time with your friends?
Yeah, and then I rushed home to get home and watch the new episode of
I'm
Dying Up
Here. Family's not that important to you is what you're saying. I understand. I get it.
You cracked the code.
Yeah, that's it. That's the secret.
Family is very important to you because with your new special, this is your debut stand-up comedy special, Home Field Advantage, was filmed at the Vic
at the
July.
Vic. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of family, someone of very great importance to you introduced it. I don't want to give anything away, so you can say what
you
want.
No, we can give it away. My girlfriend introduces me, my grandmother, who is the love of my life, Mary Garrity, who I went out to lunch with yesterday. We had a mediocre lunch. The food wasn't that good, but we had a great time together. Yeah, but she introduced me because I wanted to be brought out in kind of glorious fashion, and I thought there's no one better to do it than my grandmother, who's the best.
But then you go dirty right away. Did they escort her out
Absolutely.
Or something?
Absolutely, yeah. And we put her in a soundproof booth. No, are you kidding me? This is the funny thing, is I went back and forth on that. I was like, God, what is my Nana going to think? You know, but then she stayed for the first show, and you know, I think she just doesn't listen when it's nasty, and then she does listen when it's clean, and I said, thank you so much, Nana. Let's get you in a car. Let's get you out of here, whatever. And she's like, no, I'm going to stay for the second show. So
wow.
Once she hit the stage, she wanted the bright lights, man. She was like, let's do it again. So It was amazing. It was great because I had my whole family there. People came out. You know, people that I grew up with came out.
Isn't that nice?
It was wonderful. Yeah, it really, really was. It'll never be like that again. If I do another special, it'll probably just be, you know, random people. Family will just be like, we've seen it.
Yeah,
we're not coming to see you again.
We've lived through this before.
Yeah.
Do they give you any solid advice? Does your family, who's never done stand-up, ever see your act and go, I think I can help you with something?
Well, you know, everyone offers you tips.
Sure.
People always say, can I tell you a joke? Or, you know what would be funny? Mm-hmm. Or I remember when I first started in stand-up and I moved to Los Angeles. I don't remember what member of my family, but someone in my extended family was like, you know, you should do Ellen. And I was like, yeah, let me just call up Ellen. I'll just ring Ellen and see if I can get on Ellen. Like, right. I think people have this this idea that, like, you go to Hollywood and you're like, can't you just, like, knock on their door and walk in? It's
right.
Like, no, it's such an arduous process. But my family's always been super supportive, man. They've unlike most comics, maybe, I don't know. You know, my family's been gung-ho since day one. They were like, go do it. Yeah,
that's
great.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Very
I couldn't nice. Do anything else. I'm too dumb to do anything else. So if it's not this, I don't know. I couldn't imagine what I'd be doing.
Having a redheaded son myself, you do a real funny segment about redheads, you know?
Yeah, I do some ginger bits. We're a specific breed, man. We're a very unique breed that's hated by a lot but loved by a very few. And you have one, so
yeah.
You don't have a choice, right?
I know.
When he came out, were you like, oh, my God.
I wanted to send him back. I always told my mom, if I had a redhead, I don't. And she passed away before he was born, and I think she made sure he was a redhead.
Smart. Yeah, that's the universe paying you back. You're
it
like,
is.
I could never have a redhead. And
right.
She was like, there
I know.
You go. You
and you know
one.
What? I can't imagine his hair being in any other color. But
listen, when I was a kid, I hated it. I hated it so much. When you're a kid, because you glow in the streets,
yep.
Everyone has something to say. My grandfather, who passed away, who I love very dearly, was very funny, and he used to make fun of me because I had big ears and huge feet, and I was, you know, like 100 pounds soaking wet, and had this glowing red hair, and he's like, you look like a cab coming down the street with his doors open.
That's nice.
Massive ears.
That's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah, he used and my feet. I had huge feet when I was a kid. Like, not, you know, 12 and a half. Now it looks normal as a grown up.
Right.
When I was a kid, they were like 10. They were huge. He was like, you can water ski on those things.
Oh,
you big
God.
Dumb feet. Yeah. So I was a you know had the typical hatred for my own red hair. I hated being mocked when I was a kid. And then as an adult, it's like a gift.
Cause yeah.
To me,
that's
it's
cool.
Now it's so individual. It's so
gave you a nickname.
The Cheeto Santino. That's exactly right. I'm the Cheeto, baby, on social media. Yeah,
I
embrace
models,
it.
Andrew. There's like Ralph Malph and stuff. There's people to look up to
yeah,
if you've got
sure.
red hair. There's
no,
Opie.
But you know what's funny is when I talk about it now, it is crazy that my favorite stand-up comedians are redheads. Someone said to me like at a show, someone was like, well, I don't know if a redhead's going to be funny. I was like, have you ever heard of Louis C.K. or Bill Burr?
Yeah.
Or the funniest
Kathy
people on
Griffin?
The earth, maybe? Yeah, I was like... Have you not heard of these human beings? They're the ones dominating the game. So I think the time is now for redheads because
yeah.
I know people want to get rid of us. We're gone by 2020 or something.
You saw that story too where they
yeah.
said in a couple of years you're not going to have any more redheaded
right.
people. That's impossible.
I think
yeah.
there are more redheaded people now than there
so
used
do I.
To be.
I see them everywhere and they freak yeah. me out. I want to get rid of them. I want to be – it's me. It's got to
be –
It should
only be your
I want to be the only one. I am the one.
That's your hook.
No, I think yeah, they were saying that that redheads were slowly going extinct, but you can't
Impossible.
Kill off
no.
an obsessive gene. It's going to happen when it happens.
Right.
It just sneaks in there.
We're
yeah.
going to stand strong. It happened to you.
I know.
It happened to you. It can happen to any of
yep.
us.
And I am also half Italian, and I look about as Italian as you do.
I know. I know my last name is Santino, and every time people are like, how are you a Santino? You're not a mix something. You're not, you know. And,
right.
And I always say, this is what happens when a little Irish girl wants to get back at her father. She sleeps with the biggest Italian in town. And then they make a full-size leprechaun. This is it. This is me.
Sonny Corleone.
Sonny
one
Corleone.
Of the greatest Italians of all time.
That's
a
right.
redheaded Italian.
That's
Santino,
exactly.
actually.
Santino,
is his
that's
real
right.
name.
Yeah. Yeah. The name Santino is of a lot of worth to me because... I got killed in The Godfather,
yep.
but I'm happy to be a part of The Godfather because that was one of my favorite movies of all time.
You get nervous at toll booths a little bit?
I don't go to toll booths.
No, you can't.
Nah, that's why the I-Pass. Thank God for the I-Pass. I don't stop anywhere. I keep going.
And being Catholic, and I just have to say this because I have some advice for you. You talk about this prayer that I used to say too every time before I go to bed, and even to this day, I got to be honest with you, I still say that
do
every
you?
Night. I really
now
do.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
Go
yeah.
ahead.
My mother used to make me say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I say in my special how that's the craziest thing to make a child say before they go to bed because they're going to die in the middle of the night.
Right.
Like you're praying.
What a happy thought.
You're not praying, don't let me die. You're actually saying, when I die
yes.
in the
yeah.
midst of the night, please let the Lord keep my soul safe. I mean, it's crazy, and I'm seven, and I'm worried about dying. This is where all this anxiety comes from, Mom. That's where it all stems from.
Your special, though, spoke to me on that particular issue, because when Michael was born, my redhead, I wanted to pass along that prayer to him, and yeah. I said to my husband, I'm like, Jim, I feel fun. It's scary for a little two-year-old or three-year-old.
Right.
So I made a version that I made up that I would like to share with you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you have kids someday.
Please.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels are watching from up above to bless me and everyone I love.
See, Why couldn't that have been it?
That's nicer.
That's way better.
So much nicer.
I would have loved to say that as a kid. No, but my mom was making me recite death poems.
I know.
The break before sleep.
It was terrible.
It's the best time. Andrew, yeah. It's so nice to meet you. And Wendy, I don't know if you got to all the notes on your sheet.
I didn't. There was more.
So come back next time.
I would love to.
Please.
I would love to.
Love the show. I'm dying up here. And check out Andrew Santino's special. It's also on Showtime. Home Field Advantage. Love it.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very
much. Nice to finally meet you.
Nice
we'll
to
take
you.
A quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.